Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Reminder, I'll be appearing at Maker Fair, Kansas City, down at Union Station tomorrow from 10 until noon. Later on, we'll give away a family four-pack of tickets. If you'd like to take your kids, they will love it. Down to Maker Fair, Kansas City, at Union Station. I'll be there tomorrow from 10 until noon. For more info, you can go to kansascity.makerfair.com and see why your kids will love it. Great thing to do with the family. Right now, we have Tim Grunhard in studio. Tim, we had a chance to see you last night at the All-Star Afternoon. I was happier to see Sarah. She's always, I'd like, you know what, if you'd like to have her on the show on Fridays, bring her in here when you can't be in here.
We'd like to
get the real story.
She would give you the real story. She doesn't hold anything back.
Would be a wonderful in-studio interview. And just like, okay, here we go.
As long as she's not talking about me, because she doesn't have a lot of good things usually to say about me.
That's why we've booked her for Monday.
I do a good enough job of putting myself in bad positions without having somebody else do it. But it was a great event yesterday. I brought Cassie. She is the lone child at home this year. So, the twins are...
She's running things now.
Oh, she's running it. And she's tapping out her credit card and everything else. Wow. We had to have a long talk with her about that.
I mean...
I'm sure she's
got... She's got a monthly stipend, which is a pretty good stipend. And she just seems to continue to tap it out. So...
You've just described me. Also,
yeah. So
you just have a talk with him all the time.
Well, I got it taken away, so now I have nothing but cash.
This cash. You know what? I wish I was doing that right now with her. But
here's the deal: raise the limit.
No,
give her more spending power.
It's about as far as it can go, I think. Well, she's just out of. I don't know.
How did she receive your talk, though? Like, do you think?
I don't know how it got that.
Nor do I. Trust me. You're looking like, when did I do that?
Yeah.
So I literally don't remember when I do that. So.
She likes the finer things. Let me just put it that way. She likes the finer things in life. Her and her friends, instead of going to McDonald's or Chipotle's, they decide they want to go to Garozo's or they want to go to the Plaza.
What's wrong? You can't get after her for going to Garozo's.
No. In fact, I went there last night after our little our deal last night. I had a great Spadini Pereira. Very good steak Spadini.
How about a Kelvin Herrera?
You ever had one? Kelvin Herrera? That's just some hot sauce, baby.
I was
on a meatball.
I was hanging out with some of Tim Grunhard's offensive linemen yesterday.
Yeah, you were with my buddy Jack Burns, right?
Burns kids, yeah.
Do you...
good kids, great family.
Do you have anything you want to talk about at all? Great.
Yeah, I got a lot. I have as I kind of digested my Garozo food and this news last night.
I was yelling at you as you left the A-10 zone.
Find it. And I called, and I called just by, some of my old sources, and nobody is talking. Not one person. Nobody's even answering the phone. It's funny that...
A lot of them are on vacation.
I read the...
New phone, who dis?
Right.
That's probably what the response is.
Sam this morning in his article, was that?
Mm-hmm. Sam Mellinger?
He said the same thing. He's like, nobody's talking. They have circled the wagons over there. And this is what the Chiefs do. When they have a big decision or they make a big decision, they circle the wagons and they keep it quiet. That's fine. But, I came up with some working theories just like Sam did. And I think we need to go through a lot of stuff today.
Okay, let's start.
We really do. I mean, we could talk about my daughter spending all my money, but I think people probably want to hear about why Dorsey was fired. They parted ways.
Fired. Let's start. let's start with your just.
Okay.
I don't know. Any facts, whatever it was, I just want to know your opinion. What was your reaction? Okay. After you hear Reed signs the extension, then 45 minutes later, Dorsey is gone. What was just your reaction?
I've been around the Hunt family for 27 years. Okay, so whether being a player or being a part of the organization, being an ambassador, doing all those kind of things. The one thing that I know, the one thing you do not do is you do not embarrass the Hunt family. You do not do it. And if you do, if you tarnish their name, if you embarrass them, if you put them in a bad position, you're not there for long. And if you look at all the guys that have kind of been let go over the last years, and once again, I think that we'll get into that later. But you know, you look at the way Paoli kind of conducted himself, and he kind of did some things that probably didn't jive with the Hunt family. He was released.
What's the coach who was here?
Todd Haley.
The way Todd Haley at times, you know, conducted himself, and I thought it was interesting. You said, you know, kind of showing up in flip flops and a sweatshirt all the time. And remember Haley going just disheveled to press conferences.
He did that. He wore that beard, that like kind of like defiance beard,
and
that
just
he had.
Didn't get along with anybody in the organization.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Didn't get along with anybody in the organization, including his assistant coaches.
Let's go, Pens. Back in it now.
Yep. And so that he did some things that embarrassed even Romeo Crennel, and kind of the way that he handled himself with different things when he went 2-14, and it just wasn't a very, very good connection that just kind of embarrassed him. So I'm going through this litany of stuff. Even Marty, after the Monday night meltdown against the Denver Broncos, and Lamar Hunt came in, and it was the only time I ever saw Lamar Hunt really mad. And I thought at that point, this is kind of the beginning of the end for Marty. Even though Marty was a great part of this organization, is a great man, but you just don't embarrass the Hunt family. And I think there was a couple things that have happened of late here that just kind of rubbed the Hunt family wrong.
Like what?
Like, I think you start with the Macklin thing. You know, he's been talking about it now for 3 weeks. Macklin has been, this is a crusade for Macklin to say, hey, listen, this was not handled right. You know, we're talking about it still 3 weeks later. So obviously it's a story.
Well, right? It was a story. I brought it up, and some people react like, wow, you know, how big of a deal is this? Well, when everyone's picking up the story and the headlines look like the Chiefs treated a long time, and whether, I don't know what really happened. We never heard Dorsey's side of the story.
Right.
But perception is reality many times, and the national pundits and the headlines were that the Chiefs mishandled this, left a voicemail, they came off unprofessional, and that was the reality. So, like, for you, when you heard that story, is that like,
I can't believe it.
That happens all the time. What's a big deal? What was your reaction to that?
I think the one thing, I couldn't believe it. I've never heard of that before, and I thought, God, that's got to be wrong. And Macklin's has got to be kind of exaggerating a little bit. But as the story went on, you realize that, you know, according to him, exactly what you said, we haven't heard the other side of the story. We may never heard the other side of the story. But, you know, if you're released that way, first of all, it does really a bad job for you when you're going to go look for free agents again. Because if you treat a free agent, a veteran football player like that, you know, now players say, listen, the way you treated Macklin, I don't want to be treated that way. It's just like recruiting. So anything else. If you negative recruit, if you treat a guy bad, that you bring in a guy, a five-star guy, and all of a sudden, you know, you treat him poorly and he leaves, or he decides he wants to go somewhere else, that trickles down into the next five-star guy that wants to come to your program and take a look at you and say, well, the way that you handled his situation, I don't want to be handled that way, so I'm not going to go there. And there is a lot of recruiting going on when these free agents come around. And one of the things they do is they call ex-players who played for the team or people who play for the team now and say, how do they treat you?
And especially,
that's a negative.
And Macklin's reputation, what do we always hear about Macklin? Ultimate professional, great in the wide receivers room, one of the team leaders, a coach on the field. And so when they do if they do that to a nine-year guy that has that type of reputation, like, whoa.
Hey, and the Hunt family is one of the monarchies of the NFL. You know that there are a lot of other owners saying, hey, man, what happened with that deal with Macklin? You don't think that in an owner's meeting or just a guy calling up and saying, boy, that didn't look good. You guys didn't handle that very well. And that's an embarrassment. They don't like that kind of stuff. They don't want to answer those kind of questions. And there's other things.
It's unnecessary.
It's an unnecessary,
distraction, or anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's one of the things that I think – you know, the other thing is we could talk about a little bit later. I think that he wanted a long-term extension. They weren't ready to give it to him. They weren't sure exactly because of a lot of these situations, because of this embarrassment. They weren't ready to say, I think Clark might have said, hey, listen, we'll give you one more year to see how this works out, and then we'll go from there. He's like, listen, I want a long-term run. I'm out of here. And he's like, well, guess what? You're out of here. And, you know, I think they gave him the open to go ahead and release him and let him go because he wanted a long-term contract. I also think it's an embarrassment, and I don't know this for a fact, guys, that we all have to guess because there's nothing coming out of one Arrowhead. That's fine, and they don't need to really release anything. So we're all guessing. We're all, you know, a hypothesis of what happened. And also, I think that he probably has talked to other organizations, including the Green Bay Packers, about a job, and that's another embarrassment for the Hunt family. I mean, they want people that are loyal to them, and if you're out shopping yourself for a job and they find out, you know, this is a small little fraternity of people that own NFL teams, they all talk to each other. If they find out, then, you know, that's an embarrassment too. So I think that the overlying thing is that there were some things that John Dorsey did that just didn't jive very well with the way that the Hunts conduct themselves. And I think that was one of the things that led to it. And we'll go through all the other litany of things, too. But if you're asking me for my main opinion, I think that he wanted a long-term extension. They weren't ready to give it to him because he kind of, you know, got himself crossed with the Hunt family a little bit. And they weren't going to give it to him. And he wasn't going to take it. And then they just parted ways.
Got a lot of stuff to talk about. And we'll leave it with this. Jason Cole from Bleacher Report, Nate's go-to guy for NFL news, says he tweeted out, ex-Chiefs GM John Dorsey told a source within the past 2 months that he was butting heads with owner Clark Hunt recently. Didn't say why. And Jason Cole is one of those national guys that spends time around the Chiefs and comes to the training camp. And he knows that I my guess would be that's good information from some people you question. I think Jason Cole has good information, so that's interesting as well that Dorsey was telling people that. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
You got to give him some kudos for being able to do that.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. There was a letter sent out to season ticket holders, Chiefs family, from Clark Hunt. And so this is what it said. Earlier today, I was pleased to announce that head coach Andy Reid has signed a long-term contract extension that'll keep him on the sidelines at Arrowhead for many years to come. He goes on how he's delighted about Andy Reid, one of the best coaches. But then he gets into the good stuff. As you know, we also announced that John Dorsey and our club agreed to part ways. I notified John that we would not be extending his contract beyond the 2017 season. Mm-hmm. And after some consideration, both John and I felt it was in the best interest and the best interest of the team to part ways now. It was a difficult decision, but after a thorough evaluation of the entire football operation, I felt it was best to make a change. I have a tremendous amount of respect for John, and my family and I sincerely appreciate his contributions to the success of the Chiefs over the last 4.5 years. I have no doubt that John will have other opportunities, and today's announcement allows him to pursue those as we continue our preparations for the upcoming season and the seasons to come. In the coming weeks, I will conduct a search for the next general manager, which will include both internal and external candidates. And so there
yada,
you go.
Yada, yada. But he's
telling you, I evaluated everything, and I felt like we got to go in a different direction.
And like, we agreed to part ways. Like, yeah, yeah. We agree that you're fired.
After, you know? I told him we're not going to extend his contract, yeah.
And I bet that John Dorsey felt that, listen, if I'm not going to get my contract extension here, then I'm not going to have a lot of teeth and a lot of decisions that are going to happen. And once again, I think it was one of those things where, hey, listen, you know, we're not going to extend the contract. You know, you're not a part of the future of this organization. You might want to think about doing something else. Now, the second half of that is where he's going to have opportunities to go and you know, interview for jobs and all this kind of stuff. It's going to be tough. There's only 5 weeks until training camp starts. If anything, he may go be an advisor or go be kind of one of those, you know, the football ops guys.
Sit at home with your kids and get paid. He's getting paid next year.
Yeah. And he may just do that. But to become a GM or even, you know, an assistant GM of some sort somewhere, that's really hard right now. Everybody's kind of entrenched in what they're doing, and the plans are made, the plane tickets are set, and all those things are taken care of as the season progresses. So 2017 is out for John Dorsey.
Okay, so go ahead, Nate.
Well, of all the stuff I've been reading about it, Mike Florio said that this is the first time a GM has been fired in the month of June in a long, long time.
I can't remember one.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how far back it goes. He didn't say specifically, but he said it's been a long time since that's happened. Yep. And that makes people wonder if it was a specific event. Like, instead of just, hey, let's wait for another year, it seems like something led to this that caused him to fire them at an unusual time.
And that's why my theory of just, you know, the last straw of a kind of smearing or embarrassing with just some of the little events that have happened. And listen, I'm a big fan of John Dorsey. I'm not going to come out here and rip John Dorsey. I thought he did a really nice job in the draft. I also thought he did a really nice job of finding obscure players that could fill in a roster. Like you mentioned earlier during the break, that he took a team that was after kind of the Paoli regime that did not have a lot of depth, did not have a lot of players on the roster that could compete. And, you know, the best thing about training camp and the best thing about a good football team is there's competition. There's a lot of competition. He was able to bring in guys to compete for positions, and that's a great thing for a team. But once again, you know, and this is just a working theory of mine. I've known the Hunts a long time, and when you kind of do things to them that they don't like, you're not going to be around very long.
Tim Grunhardt's in studio, back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Tim Grunhardt. Timmy, okay, so there's lots of different things that are being thrown out there. You talk about your theory. No one is talking at Arrowhead outside of the press releases sent out and then the letter.
Well,
that was sent from Clark Hunt to the season ticket holders. And
most
a lot
of the
people
organization
on vacation,
is
right?
on vacation.
Yeah, well.
Good time to do it, I guess.
No coincidence. But, okay, so some people have said butting heads about the Pat Mahomes pick. This is the way I look at it.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to move up 17 spots, and I heard Herm Edwards talking about this, and I agree with Herm. Heard him yesterday on with Kevin, and then I know Saren was on there, and then we were talking about it, obviously, at A-10 Zone yesterday for quite some time. If an organization is going to do something that involves trading next year's first-round pick and moving up 17 spots to select a quarterback, I mean, I feel like that's an indication that everybody is on board.
On board.
I mean, it's like John Dorsey's going to go rogue, and they go in the other room, and we're taking Mahomes. You know, that's...
It's not like Captain Caveman.
Right, well, I feel like everyone, I mean, come on.
Clark Hunt was in the war room.
Right.
Yeah.
And Andy, and I know Andy Reid reports to Clark Hunt, John Dorsey. This is Andy Reid's football team. From what I've said from day one, Andy Reid, they didn't hire John Dorsey without Andy Reid. Okay, we could hire him. I'll give him my blessing. Did Andy Reid hire him? I don't know. We probably handpicked him. That's Andy Reid. Andy Reid's the guy, okay?
And by the way,
exactly. And who's got the contract extension and who doesn't? So John Dorsey did not take Pat Mahomes without Andy Reid being all on board. It's Andy Reid's football team.
That's rubbish.
Andy Reid's football team. Yeah. But I'll tell you this, and you tell me if I'm wrong here. I don't feel like this is a huge deal for the Chiefs because I put just this huge percentage to Andy Reid as to why this team is successful, why this team's turned it around. I'm not really concerned about who the GM's going to be. As long as it's not Andy Reid, because that didn't work very well when he was his own GM. But I feel like put someone in there and Andy Reid is going to coach who's ever out on the field to 9, 10, 11, 12 wins.
But,
and they're going to go to the playoffs.
In John Dorsey's defense, I thought he did a good job of giving Andy pieces to play with on that chessboard. And that was the one thing that he did very well. Now, the thing, this is what the crazy thing about this firing is, you know, just about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, or no, excuse me, when release. Month and a half ago, 2 months ago when the draft happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a draft basically for the future. We talked about all these draft picks. It was the first three or four picks are guys that are going to help him in the future. And I think that's the way that Dorsey and Reed kind of addressed it after the draft. Is, hey, these are guys that, you know, we got a good 5 or 6 years together here. Let's get these young guys and develop these guys and see what we can do with these young guys. And so I don't think that he saw this on the horizon at all. Because if you did, I mean, he even talked about, listen, I'm drafting for this team for the future. I'm drafting for this team so that, you know, I could leave this team better than when I, you know, got this team. And that's what the crazy thing about this firing and everything else, it seemed to happen so quickly. Now, granted, you know, Mahomes is not going to be ready particularly to play next year unless it's a catastrophic thing happens and Alex Smith gets hurt. And they're going to have to change some things up offensively and do some things that Mahomes could do. But, guys, they've stripped Mahomes down to the stubs in football knowledge.
Ow.
I mean, they basically have given him a football, and I said this yesterday, and said, here's the laces, here's how you hold it. And they've gone through everything from how to take a snap to his drops to his footwork, to his reading of defenses. And the one thing, and it's funny, I read it from somewhere, I can't remember one of the websites that cover the Chiefs, talked about his greatest success so far, and this is Mahomes talking, is just getting the play out and knowing what the protection is. It's not really about the throws. It's not really about, his big plays that he's making. It's about doing these little things like, hey, he'll come up and say, I changed the protection correctly. You know, look at me. Mm-hmm. that speaks volumes. They have stripped him down, and they're gonna have to build this kid back up, and it's gonna take more than a year to do it. So, you know, maybe some of the people in the front office, or maybe, you know, Clark didn't realize that this was gonna be such a huge project to move up 10 spots for a guy that's really probably not gonna be able to play for at least a year and a half, 2 years.
I feel like, you know, what's that look?
It has not been a very good...
What was that look just now?
He said a year and a half, 2 years. Jake says if it's not by next year, it's a disaster.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree with that. You get a first-round pick.
Yeah, 2 years is a disaster.
Right.
Like, I get it. 1 year sitting out your rookie season, sitting behind. 2 years is an absolute disaster.
I just feel like,
And you know what?
Can we start his career and let him have a year before we start declaring whether he's going to play next year? I mean, nobody's...
Yeah.
We don't know how fast
he's going
to pick all
this
up.
On what you've seen in a practice or two, stop.
No, you're exactly right. But the one thing that they've done, and they basically hired a quarterback coach just to work with him for so a year, a year and a half, 2 years from now, he's ready to play.
Let's take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. And if I could, I'd like to mention something that I'll be doing today that is near and dear to my heart, and also getting some help from a gentleman by the name of Gary Lezak. I am the honorary chair of the 7th Annual Sheffield Place Golf Tournament. I did this last year as well out at Tiffany Green's Golf Club. Very happy.
Great course.
Very happy to do this. I will be out there sitting on in one of the holes.
For as many golf tournaments as you go to, you think you'd be great at golf.
No, the shoulder is not golf worthy.
Yeah, okay.
I will never have that shoulder surgery again, hopefully. And so, you know, I just sit and watch and shake hands, but I'm terrible at golf. But the point is, it's a very important golf tournament because it raises money. The tournament provides much needed resources to empower homeless mothers and their children to heal from the trauma they've experienced and become self-sufficient. And this is something that is very important to me. You can get more information about Sheffield Place at sheffieldplace.org if you'd like to make a donation or perhaps volunteer or help in any way. And so today I'll be out at Tiffany Green's Golf Club thanking all of the people that are taking part in this golf tournament, and by doing that, supporting the tremendous work that Sheffield Place does, sheffieldplace.org. And so if you're heading out there for the beginning that starts at 9 a.m., Gary Lezak will be out there giving a live forecast.
Right.
Can you believe it?
I'm going to miss Gary.
He's going to call in from there.
I'm going to miss Gary today. I have to leave a little bit early today before Gary comes on. I have to play in a golf tournament myself.
Oh, have to play.
Have to play.
You're a good golfer, though.
It's a good sacrifice you're willing to make there, Gurney. Stephen, just to respond to something you said about you asked the question about is anybody really worried about the GM being replaced here? Because, you know, you give most of the credit to Andy Reid for what's happened with
the team.
As long
as Big Red's the coach, I'm good.
I 100% agree with you. I've said...
I've just changed my mind now. Now I'm worried.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Fair enough.
No.
How do we let Ballard get away?
Come on, man. That was a fastball down the night.
Yeah, it was. I put it right on a tee for you.
We're screwed.
I've said for a long time that for me, in baseball, the general manager is the juice. You know, to me, if you he's the alpha dog. He's the guy that you put your resources toward. You make sure you have the right GM because he assembles the entire organization, and then the players go out and play the game. What a manager does, it's important, but it's not nearly as influential. They can only do so many things. At the end of the day, it's the guy in the batter's box against the guy on the mound. Football, it's about the head coach. I mean, who's the GM of the New England Patriots? I mean, Scott Pilley got all this credit, and they're still just humming along with Bill Belichick running the show there. You get a coach, and I thought that was one thing that Clark Hunt learned with the disaster of the Pioli-Todd Haley regime, which was he hired a GM to be the alpha dog, and then that alpha dog was hiring coaches that he would bully around and things like that, and it doesn't work. In the NFL and in football, the coach devises the game plan, the practice routines, all these, every single thing that happens on the field is the head coach. And yes, the GM job is important, but it's really more like the GM is there to serve the head coach, in my opinion. And when you have a legit head coach like Andy Reid, it works. And I'm not really worried. If Andy Reid has input on who the next GM is, I think the team's going to be absolutely fine.
Well, I agree with you because, and I think this is a new phenomenon. I think this is something that's happened in the last 20 years. You know, if you look at where Carl Peterson back, you know, Carl Peterson had a big stick and carried it with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think it's almost becoming a college-esque type of a organization now, all NFL, where the head coach in college football runs the show, all right, and everybody works around him, including a lot of times the AD. The AD is just there to facilitate and help out the head coach, especially in the football aspects of, you know, AD does a lot of other things, so it's not the greatest example, but the head coach is the alpha dog, and I think the NFL is getting that way too. Where
next question,
the head coach is the guy who makes a lot of the decisions. The head coach is a lot of who kind of dictates who he wants to bring in, and so to your point, yeah, I agree with you.
As much as Carl Peterson was this big personality and the boss and had all this power, who was more responsible for that great decade of the 90s? Marty Schottenheimer or Carl Peterson?
You know what? It's a coin toss, and I'm just telling you right now. And listen, I love Marty, and Carl, you know, was a good man also, you know. But they butt heads. There were years when Carl and Marty, literally years, where they wouldn't talk to each other at all. One would be on one side of the field, and one would be on the other side of the field. And because they were battling for this kind of shift, this cosmic shift that's happened now, mm-hmm. where head coaches run the show and the GMs don't. Now that Carl was brought in here to change the culture here of this team, mm-hmm. along with Marty. So, I mean, guys, I'm telling you, there were years when they were chummy and they would hang out and they'd love each other, and then years where they wouldn't talk at all. That's the way that relationship went. So to your question, who was really the one that was made that change and was part of why the 90s really changed this organization? It was both. They both had their finger in it. But that's a gone era now.
Okay. One of our listeners has tweeted in that Andy Reid is not top 10 all time. Nobody said he was top 10 coach all time. And so that's, I don't know why.
Why did you say that?
I didn't.
Top 10 in the NFL right now.
Okay, I think he's top 5 in the NFL right now. I'm talking about active coaches that are coaching their teams. And so tell me who you'd rather have as your head coach than Andy Reid. Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
I'd take Mike Tomlin.
I'd take Mike McCarthy.
Would you take Mike McCarthy over
Reid? Yeah, I love Mike
Reid?
McCarthy. Yes, I would. I think he's a young Andy Reid. I really do.
I don't know.
I think he's right there with Andy, and he's a young guy.
It's hard for me to say because I don't know what Mike McCarthy does without
Aaron Rodgers,
a Hall of Fame quarterback. I know what Andy Reid does without Hall of Fame quarterbacks, you know?
But that's
it gets to the playoffs almost every year and gets to conference championship games, you know, wins divisions.
Hey, right. I'll listen
pretty
to
good.
Any coach with a ring that
right.
That, there's a reasonable argument. I'm not
I can't argue he won a championship.
I know, but has Andy Reid ever had a quarterback the caliber of Aaron Rodgers to help him win a championship?
Why is that Mike McCarthy's fault?
I'm not saying
the organization did a good job of finding a good quarterback. Right,
That it's his fault, but I'm saying you think that this team would perform as highly as it is with Mike McCarthy coaching?
I don't know.
I
don't know.
I don't know. I know what it can do with Andy Reid.
I don't know that. What do you mean? Do you think that if all of a sudden, you know, Mike McCarthy came here, that the team would be trash?
No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is I don't know what Mike McCarthy does without a Hall of Fame quarterback.
What's Aaron Rodgers do without Mike McCarthy?
I think Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl.
I don't know. It's a hypothetical.
So once again, we don't know. But so my opinion is
can you get more than five?
I think I might go Pete Carroll.
Okay, Pete Carroll.
I'm just busting my brain.
Carroll, maybe Tomlin, for sure Bill Belichick. You say McCarthy, who else?
I mean, some people could make the argument for Harbaugh. John Harbaugh. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl.
All right.
I don't know that I would make that argument.
But Andy Reid... You guys would agree he's definitely top ten, but you can make an excellent for top. You can make an argument for top five.
Right, right. Once again, I'm not taking away from him. I think Andy Reid's an excellent coach. In fact, I think Andy Reid has done an unbelievable job with this team. But once again, guys, what is it about? What's it about? And yeah, okay, well, he's got a good quarterback. He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's great. Well, you know, don't hold that against Mike McCarthy, because he's got a great quarterback. You know, I wish we had a great quarterback. I wish we gave Andy Reid all the things that we can give him. But, you know, Mike McCarthy's won a Super Bowl.
They've tried. They went out and tried to get a franchise quarterback. We'll see if it works out. Yeah. That was the whole thing with going out and drafting Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I'm not trying to disrespect Mike McCarthy. I think he obviously is a very good coach. I'm just saying that I don't know what he would do without a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I think that's a fair.
Games where Aaron Rodgers was hurt and they still won some football games. Yeah. And they've had a ton of injuries. The Green Bay Packers have had a ton of injuries, and they always seem to be right there. So,
do you think Bill Belichick would win Super Bowls without Tom Brady?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
And that's I know Petro's texting me right now. Say, well, where are you knocking Belichick down to? Because he's never won. What would they? How many games did they win with Matt Castle?
11. They didn't make the playoffs, but they still won 11 games.
Yeah, they won 11 games with Matt Castle at quarterback. Yeah. And then they, last year, when what was their record when Brady didn't play? In the
Three and one.
So, and I know those are small sample sizes, but also, look, Bill Belichick's got five Super Bowls?
Do you think Bill Belichick will retire when Brady retires, or do you think he'll stay and try to prove to people
that
he can
question.
Win?
That's always been fascinated
with that. Like, or maybe just, you know, I'm done. See you later.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
You know, it's
it would answer a lot of debates. But the point is,
got five Super Bowls, you know, that's a lot.
But right.
I mean, Tom Brady's his quarterback. I get it.
But the point is, I think Andy Reid is one of the best. Whether it's top five, top six, top seven, he's right there.
I think he's top five.
Okay. I put him in the top five.
Yeah.
And so, and that's why, and again, so by me saying that, I'm not downgrading what John Dorsey did, because I think he did find some good players. And he is a hell of a scout and a very good talent evaluator. But being a GM, you're also responsible for the salary cap, whether you got a guy like Tripp McCracken to take that bullet for you. And by the way, I'm still angry about that, because now there's not a guy in the organization named Tripp McCracken. There should be, because I like it, because I like to say it. Not keep saying
it.
He'll
hire his brother Phil.
That's what he does not have a brother Phil, but if he does, I hope he gets hired. But the point is, okay, Tamba Ali. That's a bad contract.
Dwayne Bowe, bad contract.
They waited, and I sat here and argued about that on this show. They waited a year too long for Justin Houston, and it cost him millions of dollars.
Right.
They waited too long to sign Eric Berry to the long term deal.
Macklin's deal was missing.
Not didn't Macklin, handle it right.
Berry's deal was not handled correctly.
Yeah, Berry's expressed he wasn't happy the way things were handled.
And here's a guy that, you know, is a legend here in Kansas City for a lot of reasons.
That's the guy you're going to butt heads with? If you're going to treat one player well and make sure he's taken care of and happy.
That'd be like butting heads with me.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
Who would do that? Besides Sarah. She wins. And the Macklin thing, that's just another little thing. Like, okay, you're a good talent evaluator. You can scout players and everything else, but what the hell's going on here? And so they ended up having to make some moves because of the salary cap situation they were put into. That is part of it, right?
No, absolutely.
You can't run from that.
There's just a lot of little things that kind of added up, and I think the icing on the cake was kind of the Macklin deal, which just wasn't handled that great. And Macklin has not let it go. He hasn't let it go. I mean, he talked about it just the other day. So, I mean, he's been on national, you know, programs talking about how the Kansas City Chiefs organization mishandled his release, and, you know, they kind of lied to me, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's his story. I mean, he's going to be able to get his points out.
And he's been going out of his way to make sure everybody knows, hey, Andy Reid's my guy.
Yeah.
I don't hold anything against Andy Reid.
What did I read when we read that? He was exactly right.
He's been going out of his way.
Nothing against Andy Reid.
Right. Andy Reid was at his wedding like a week and a half before.
So how do you guys think that went down? Because, again, we don't believe that Andy Reid, anything really happens in this organization right now without Andy Reid knowing
about
it.
That's a good question.
How did this happen?
Well, he probably knew he was going to get released and everything else, but it just wasn't handled the right way.
You don't do it over a voicemail.
You just don't.
Can I ask, why didn't Andy Reid call him? Is that out of the line, or is that always the GM?
We don't know that he didn't, but we do know that he was, according to Macklin, he was released in not a professional way.
Over the voicemail.
And I'm sure, the head coach doesn't call you to release you. All right, the GM does. You know, head coach will call you and say, hey, man, sorry about what happened. You know, you got a bright future.
Good
luck with everything, and, you know, still love you. And, you know, if it ever, you know, you never know. Life, you know, this football is a weird game. We may cross paths again, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But the other thing is, guys, that there is something with, you know, and then he also said that, hey, he played with a torn groin muscle and that it was worse than you know, he let on and the organization let on and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so he went out there and kind of suffered a little bit for the team, and then all of a sudden they released him. That's one of the reasons why he's so upset.
Is he taking a hit too for whose responsibility or who
ultimately the GM?
Well, I'm talking about
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The misdiagnosis with Justin Houston.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of little things, man. Which
led to having to bring back Tom Bahali. And paint yourself into a corner there, and now this thing.
What do they call it?
The Jamal Charles knee thing.
What do they call it
back,
in college football? What do they call in college football when there's no control? It's institutional lack of control.
Lack of institutional control.
That's kind of doesn't that kind of have that feel?
So, does that fall at his feet?
Yes, that's his job.
Because we talked about that, right? What the hell's going on?
General manager. What is a general manager? He manages all the personnel, and whether it's the docs or the trainers or the
remember how weird the Justin Houston thing was? Like, all of a sudden there's an injury that demands this procedure that it's like, what the hell's going on? What?
And then Andy Reid comes out and in preseason last year, he goes, I don't know if a lot of people understand how serious this injury was that he's working back from. Or that was actually when he was getting ready to come back finally from the injury. We're like, well, wait a second.
We didn't know.
Yeah, we did.
You guys
told us it wasn't that serious.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's having an ACL replacement.
You guys wanted to hang me for saying that he wasn't going to be back in, 2016?
You just upset me.
We really came back for two games?
I believe you, but you upset me.
I was pissed at you. I know you guys were.
These things to me.
You were.
No way you can be right.
I'm emotional. You've been around me long enough. I get upset.
Well, that's because, you know, you and I had a couple pops before, and you were still probably reeling from that. So
I'm to this day, I'm still reeling from all that. But
to answer your question, Nate, the general manager, he's the guy that hires and fires and brings in all the guys that are in the periphery of an NFL organization. You know, the doctors that are there are basically handled by the GM. The equipment guys are handled by the GM. The trainers are handled by the GM. The guy that the vacuums the rug after everybody leaves is handled by the GM.
So this just occurred to me when we're sitting here trying to speculate on why this happened because Clark Hunt's not going to tell us. We can come up with like 10 things, you know, and that might be the answer right there. Is the fact that the three of us can sit here and go, well, boy, they screwed that up, and then that was a weird thing with the knee injury, and then they didn't handle that very well, and that was kind of a bad look for the organization.
But they won.
Right.
And so to me, that tells me that Clark Hunt says, well, they're winning because it's Andy Reid. Andy Reid's right. And it doesn't, you know, and yes, John Dorsey's done a fine job at certain aspects of his job, but it don't matter. As long as Andy Reid's my coach, I'm still going to win. Right. Now, we'll find out if that's true. But doesn't that tell you that's what Clark Hunt thinks?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
In my handling.
And I think that sounds right.
Being around the Hunt family as long as. Yeah, I mean, once again, I'm just going to stick with what I said. And I don't know exactly what it is. Nobody knows exactly.
Do you really
put it over the top?
Are you holding back from us?
Nobody knows what. But something happened that just said, you know what, that's it. You know, and it might be as simple as, I want an extension. We're not giving you extension. Well, then I want out. Well, you're gone.
What about the theory that people have that he's holding out because he wants the Packers job and Clark Hunt wanted more of a commitment from him? Do you think there's any truth to that possibility?
There could be. You know, that's why I just wish that, and I don't think he's going to do it, but I think Clark just come out and say, hey, listen, this is kind of what happened, and this is where we're at, and then put all these speculations, because there's so much speculation going on about different things. And like you said, we've come up with like 10 things. When it could be just as simple as though you said, hey, I kind of want to go to Green Bay. I don't want to sign a long-term contract. He might have said, I don't want to sign a long-term contract. Who knows?
I do think there's some of the idea that we can come up with 10 things. And if you're Clark Hunt, at some point, you sit down and go, okay, you can explain that one away and that one away and that one away and that one away, and you can fire Trip McCracken for that. But at some point, you're the general manager. And if I'm sitting down and evaluating all these things, do you like the way I found a way to get Trip McCracken's name back in
there? Yeah.
I think the dirty little secret here of this is that we lost really a up-and-coming, hot, rising star GM in Ballard at Indianapolis, who just basically left like last week.
Like Ballard's got to be like, are you kidding me?
He's got to be kicking himself right
Yeah,
now.
This is a job he wanted. He turned down
several jobs.
I don't think he wanted to leave. You got a family, you got kids, you want to stay here. And
his family loved Kansas City.
Yes, they did.
I think he had six kids, and his wife loved being here. They considered this home.
Can they bring him right back?
I don't know.
Is that impossible?
Let's call him.
And he's only been there for a couple of months?
Call him up. He'll answer. Say, hey, can you come back?
Okay, so I'm going to ask
you.
Boy,
that would be a diss.
Here are the names that are being thrown out there. Internally,
all right, let's hear it.
Do you know anything of Brett Veach?
No.
Okay, he's a name.
I know his brother Blacken.
Well, Mike Borgonzi. Now, those are the two internal candidates. Chris Ballard, please come back.
Is his name on the list?
I just like speculation out there.
I like what you said with, go ahead and say it. Just say it.
No, someone told me
just
last
say
night.
It.
And said,
I love it.
Said, what about Mike Holmgren? I don't know. What about him?
How about that? And then once again, I know I'm going back to my roots here, but how about Russ Ball, who is the capologist and basically the right-hand man to Ted Thompson with the Green Bay Packers? Do we want to go back to the Green Bay Packers? I mean, it seems like this organization, the Packers, kind of are a symbiotic relationship between personnel.
What's Carl doing these days?
Carl!
Shut his mic off.
What's he doing?
He's running USA football.
He's wearing a leather trench coat.
He's running USA football.
Some nice Stacey Adams shoes.
Come on back, Carl.
Would you like to have Carl Peterson back?
I'd take it.
No, but just for our purposes.
It's pretty selfish. I mean, it's extremely selfish.
Do you think that Andy Reid and Carl Peterson are going to coexist in a football
room?
It'd be
nice to have the lovely Lori back in town.
Right.
I never get excited about guys running around in their underwear.
Mm-hmm. His wife Lori is a class act, and she works for the architecture firm here still. Very good looking lady.
Or what? Hey, Carl might have, you know,
okay.
in his aging process, maybe humble himself a little bit.
Doubt it.
What are you doing back there? I don't even know. What the hell are you talking about?
I guess I'm just a tough son of a bitch and negotiator.
You just want more drops.
Yes.
You don't. I don't think you even care about
not really
anything else.
No.
You just want more drops.
Yes.
Someday I'll tell you guys about, and because we don't.
Tell us one story. Tell us one Carl Peterson story.
I told you the one about the two different shoes.
Well, tell us another one.
Well, God, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Oh, you there was something you were just thinking about.
Well, no,
I was
thinking about this really makes me look stupid, not him. But that's okay.
Come on.
I've done that many times.
Come on.
No, my rookie year, he called me into the office in June, about this time, right before going on vacation. And he said, let's talk about this contract. We want to get you signed. We got to get you ready to go. Mike Webster doesn't want to play anymore. We have to get you. We don't want you to miss any camp time. So I'm sitting there, and you know, I think I'm smart. You know, I've learned over the years that I'm not. But
well,
so
you
I'm
with
sitting
the Notre
there.
Game, you're ready.
So I'm sitting there, and so we're going through this. I'm going through basically like an agent. I'm negotiating this contract with him. I said, well, how about this over this year, and then you know this and that, and here's a signing bonus, and how about this and all that, and we came up with a number and. I call my agent, and he says, get the hell out of there, you stupid ass. He says, what are you doing? I said, I just figured it out, man. He goes, no, it's my job. Steve Zucker was my agent at the time. He goes, get out of there. Let me talk to Carl. He just was railing on Carl. He said, well, I'm going on vacation. Carl would go on vacation every year for like a month right before. You know, so if he doesn't get done now, we're not going to have him done by training camp. And I'm like, and I want to be done by training camp.
You
like an idiot. God, I was so stupid.
So how far off was the number that
it
you
wasn't
reached?
Even that far off. Oh, I think he got me I think he got me literally like 10 or 15 grand more a year. That's it.
So
like,
it was nothing.
Why did I hire this agent? I could have done it myself.
Right, and basically, the money that you got extra probably went to him.
Literally, in high school, and I know you guys think I'm full of crap here.
Yeah.
I used to take bottles for deposit to the store so I can get lunch money. Oh, so yeah. I didn't have any money.
I grew up
with no money.
I do
okay?
that for my grandpa. We used to go to get aluminum cans at a cemetery.
When I was in grade school, we'd walk the tracks, we called it, in Chicago. We'd look for bottles, and we'd bring back the bottles for 5 cents or 10 cents. It was 10 cents in Michigan. We always wished we were in Michigan. Mm-hmm. It was 5 cents. And I'd bring it back, and that would be we'd get our 50 cents and go buy a Snicker bar or something.
We would walk the parking lot at Arrowhead after games.
We'd go.
Looking for money on the ground?
No, aluminum cans.
Yeah.
My grandpa was, one time for Christmas, my mom and dad gave him a metal detector. And he became obsessed. Remember the metal detectors? He became obsessed with it. So there was a cemetery across the street from where he lived. And so we'd go there. Mijo, come on, we're going to go look for cans. And we'd go look for cans. And I'm like, why? And I'm like 8 or 9 years old. And he goes, Mijo, this is where all the people come and drink at night. So I guess people, whatever, teenagers would go drink at the cemetery. And so we go and find cans and turn them
right.
Like, why am I doing this? I'm so scared right now.
Dan the Fantasy Man and I would walk up the tracks and look for cans, look for bottles. But listen, so you know, you're sitting there and you're talking about a 6-figure signing bonus and you're a kid that literally was like two years earlier was looking for 50 cents, you know, on the bottom of a couch.
You just wanted to make a deal.
Yeah.
That's all you
and
wanted.
And that's like, you know, I want this money. Give me this like I had to take a loan from my agent to move out here.
Yeah.
I mean,
probably why, because he wanted to keep you paying on that loan.
Yeah, well, I was going to pay it off quicker.
Well, no, but
So, I mean, I remember getting, applying for my first credit card. I got denied. You know, they wouldn't give me a credit card, so I had to get it through my agent. I mean, it was crazy. So.
Too bad they didn't deny your daughter.
now she's spending my signing bonus each month.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So moving forward.
Yes.
Because we can
speculate.
Are you nervous with all these things going on right now? Are you nervous about the Chiefs for this upcoming season?
I'm not particularly nervous. It's not a good situation. This has not been a stellar offseason for the Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
Tumultuous.
The OTAs were kind of a disaster with 4 or 5 guys missing all the time. Andy Reid losing it to the press. Macklin's deal was handled poorly.
That was weird.
Yeah, Jamal Ford, that was weird. I mean, all this, a lot of different just weird things happened. It just has not been a clean, when your starting quarterback goes and introduces himself to the captain of the defense and says, hey, I'm Alex Smith, what's your name? Right? And that might have been a joke, ha, 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 oh. Laugh, 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 but it wasn't. I mean, Alex Smith was sending him a message, hey, listen, you need to be here. So there, you know, and I'm not saying that there's any issues or any problems.
I'd have sent a message right back to him. You can guess what I would have said.
Well, I'd have sent a message right back to him. Yeah, well, I know what you would have said.
You don't think Alex Smith was just trying to diffuse it and make a little joke about it because everybody's making such
a joke, but for every joke, there's a little bit of what? Truth, right?
Oh, is there really?
No. So, oh, like, boy. Steven really does want me out of the studio.
No, but you know what? Alex was saying, hey, you know, I mean, it was laugh, joke, diffuse, everything else. But Eric Berry, how did he take it? He didn't take it that great, did he?
I don't know.
I heard he just came, kind of gave that cross look and walked away. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think there's any issues, any problems right now. But there's just an underlying, you know, there's a slow.
That's what we need is Alex Smith and Eric.
The wheels are just spinning right now. But what I could, I would have said about Eric.
They're not feuding. There's no issues. What I'm saying is that Alex Smith.
Yeah, you got me mad.
Let those guys know that, hey, I know you're not here. But here's my point. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about this before. Hold on now. Eric Berry's time isn't more important than Alex Smith's time. Eric Berry's time isn't more important than anybody else's time. I don't care if he's a superstar. I'm going to get on this soapbox again. Why is his time more important than everybody else's time? He's not. So when guys aren't there, they're telling you that they have their time and their things are more important than yours and the team's. And that just doesn't rub right for people. And people aren't going to say anything, and it's not going to cause a lot of issues in the long run, but it is noticed. That's what I'm telling you. It's noticed. So if you think that those guys are saying, oh, hey, Eric, man, high five. It's great to have you back. Yeah, you don't have to come to OTAs, but I do. Why is that? Why do I have to come and you don't? That's what they're saying in their mind.
You think it pisses the defense off when the offense can't score in the playoffs?
Yes, and I think it pisses the offense off when the defense can't stop anybody. But nobody says anything, I mean, unless you really have a dysfunctional team. I used to sit in the back of the bus with Derek Thomas and Neil Smith and Tracy Simeon and all those guys, because they were the guys that had had a couple drinks in the back of the bus. I'd go sit with those guys, and they would rip the crap out of me. Nice job, scoring. I mean, 10 points, really? 10 points? That's all you can muster is 10 points? I would take it, laugh, and everything else.
But you've also told us that Derek Thomas, like, wouldn't practice. Or at least wouldn't go and practice.
No, he was there. He just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that annoyed me. It annoyed everybody.
But then it's like, but you know what? You know why he can? Because Derek Thomas, and he'll go sack guy 5 times in a game, and we don't care. Eric Berry's best player on the defense, you know?
It's not that you care. You notice, okay? Do you understand when somebody doesn't show up to work, do you like, oh my gosh, everything's going to fall apart? Or are you like, hey, you know, why isn't he here?
And there's a difference between not trying and not being there.
Right.
He was at least there.
Who?
You know, Derek Thomas?
Yeah. I mean, Derek was Derek, man. I mean, he just,
This is a different era, though, because those OTAs are bargained in with CBA. They are optional. You know, they're voluntary.
Well, what's going to happen is they're going to have a 2-week deal where it's going to be mandatory. Everybody's going to have to be there. And I believe it's going to have helmets and shoulder pads, and that's it. I think these OTAs over a month, month and a half, 2 months are going to be over. People aren't showing up.
Yeah, it causes too much drama.
Yeah.
Because the coach can't say anything, because if he does, they'll get sued by the union, because it can't be optional if your coach, if your boss says to you, I really want you here, then it's not optional, whatever that thing is, you know?
You know what? You have a 2-week period where you have 10 practices and that's it. 10 practices a summer where you guys go through things and then, you know what, go work out, do what you want to do. Because right now, it turns into a blank show. Where, you know, people are just, you know, pissed off. And I'm telling you, and you guys can argue with me all you want, because I know you like to. But the reality of the situation is that guys are not happy when other guys aren't there. Because if you're there, you want other people. I don't care if you're the superstar of the team or you're some schmo from Kokomo. You have to be there. And you have to be there because your time is just as important as somebody else's time. So it's not that they're gonna, you know, complain to the media, or they're gonna go punch the guy out when he shows up, or whatever it is, but they're noticing that they're not there.
Do you have to leave now?
No, I got to come.
You come back one more?
One more.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll wrap things up. We'll put a bow on it with Tim Grunhard. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
See?
What?
You know, you got guys that are leaving a little bit early. You're not saying anything right now, but you're probably just a little perturbed by it.
No, I told him, I said he could go, you know, earlier if you wanted to pre-board.
Preborn.
That's the thing.
Today he goes.
Just
he goes.
Show
I gotta
up early, get on.
He goes. I gotta. He goes. I gotta leave a little early to catch my flight. I'm like, okay. Well, maybe you should go now to preboard.
See, and behind every joke,
there's
a little
truth. You see,
you know,
yeah. Do you?
I'm not ashamed of what just happened.
I'm kind
of
ashamed of you.
Here's what I saw.
Dude. You're meaner to interns than anybody.
But I don't make them. They're not my lackeys. I don't make them do unnecessary work.
There's nothing wrong with John Lackey, one of the better starters of the past few years.
I'm just saying, you could have left 5 minutes earlier and stopped by.
I'm walking back with my oatmeal.
3 minutes away from here.
And I see No-No the intern dragging some luggage. I'm thinking, No-No the intern is done with this damn internship, and she's leaving town. She's heading back to Wyoming now. Like, what's going on here? Because I thought it was her luggage. I don't know. I thought we'd made her mad, and she
packed her bags.
What did I find out? Where was she?
So I got a text message when I got here this morning from my wife that said, "Hey, you left your luggage,
Nate,
at the house." You know, and it's in the and my house isn't very far from here.
I've always said you got a lot of baggage, but this is ridiculous.
And since I'm already leaving the show early to get to the airport on time, I didn't want to have to leave even earlier. And let's be honest, how busy is No-No right now? She pretty busy with all kinds of stuff.
Yep, she's cutting up Bill's self sound right now.
She just raised
on
the coffee.
Cup of coffee.
She's doing like she was. Hey,
she toasted a cup of coffee.
Put the mic. Give No-No the mic. No-No the intern. Were you offended at all? When Nate asked you to retrieve his luggage from his house,
it was not. But Jake is telling me to say yes.
Okay. See, I like to see the inner workings of the show.
She's not particularly busy right now, mm-hmm. and so this is something that could allow me to basically anger both you and Jake by being on the show longer.
I'm not
than you
busy,
want
and
to.
I'm not getting your luggage.
Timmy, what
right
do you
now?
Think of that? What do you,
well,
do,
you're not my
what
intern.
Do you think of that?
I just think that's appalling.
Right.
Whatever.
It's a damn. You know what it is? You know what it really is? It's a damn shame. Is what it is.
Yeah.
It's not only a shame.
The best part is Jake. This is where the dynamic is between
me
and
Jake. Go ahead. Turn around
now.
On me because you're guilt. That's fine. You can turn around.
Guilt
on me.
Of what's
put
my
it on
guilt?
I want you to put it on him.
Put it on him. That's all right. Turn it on. Turn it on me.
This is just where the dynamic is between me and Jake at this point. There's nothing that brings Jake more pleasure
than your pain?
than crapping on interns, other than crapping on me. So now his two worlds have collided because he has to decide between...
I've actually tried to turn a new leaf.
I've
been nice to the interns this year. I've been nice.
Has he? No, the intern, once again, has Jake.
Well, I think No kick your ass, so that's probably why.
Has Jake been nice to you during this internship? No.
Yeah, we have a great time back here.
There you go.
They have a great time back mm-hmm. there.
You asked Tofu, the interns. Ask him.
Well,
how
yeah,
I
you
treat
missed
him.
That yesterday. We
right,
got,
I heard
yeah.
about Tofu. I told him. I'll have to ask. I'll get him.
That's fine.
I'll get him alone to find out how you treat him. He'll tell me the truth. So you're saying that you have.
I'm trying with our interns.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I screw the other ones. I care less about those.
All right,
let's put a bow on it.
Let's put a bow on it. So now, not Dwayne Bow. He's I'd like to have Dwayne Bow on this if he could come on the show and talk about that contract.
Big Red.
And so, moving forward, I asked you about: are you nervous about the team this season? But just how do you feel right now about everything that's happened and what's next? The future, not just this season, but just the future of the Chiefs. Now that you know Andy Reid is here and John Dorsey is not.
Well, like you said, I think Andy Reid basically is kind of like, use Nate's word, the alpha dog of this organization. So, I mean, it's in good hands. It's in good standing with Andy there. It's going to be interesting to see who they bring in and what the dynamics and how they, you know, whether it's somebody from inside or outside, you know, that relationship and the dynamics of that relationship need to be built. And there's really not a lot of time to build that as the season progresses because once, you know, 5 weeks from now when they start training camp, I mean, the nose is to the grindstone and you don't have time for pleasantries. You don't have time to get to learn and know people. Your only time is to figure out a way to win a football game. So in that, you know, he's going to have this relationship with, and it'll be interesting to see if the new GM that comes in is going to have enough confidence and enough power to say, you know, hey, you know, be a part of that cutting process or be a part of the culling process of players, you know, during that training camp period. And that's in a very important time because there's some really tough decisions that have to be made. And the GM is always a part of those tough decisions. Even if the head coach is running the show and has the last say,
the GM is a very, very important part of that relationship, of that decision making. So that worries me a little bit. Other than that, I think that the Chiefs will be okay. Other than if things go bad, now there's something that you can kind of, you know, point your finger at, and does this well up? If does this swell into a big fat blister of problems when the Chiefs start, you know, 0-6? I don't think that's going to happen, but those are the kind of things that people point back to.
It's like Jeremy Maclin somewhere is sipping some hot tea right now, saying,
You ain't kidding on that.
And I'll just throw this other thing out. We're talking about candidates. Do you guys remember when LeSean McCoy, who he was campaigning for on social media to be the next Bills GM recently? Not a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
Brett Veach. Because he was there in Philly when Brett Veach was there. So Brett Veach was a candidate for the Bills GM job. And so obviously he'll be a candidate internally.
He's a young guy, and you know he can learn a lot from Andy Reid. So in this whole organization, it'd be interesting to see what he could do.
Timmy, hit him straight today, please.
All right, I will. See you guys.
That is Mr. Tim Grunhard back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.